Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
He didn't want to ruin her, but he couldn't stay away. So Good, a brand new taboo forbidden romance by USA Today bestselling author Jenica Snow, is now live and available in Kindle Unlimited. This book features an older man, younger heroine, if that's your catnip, and we know how well Jenica writes taboo, since we had a naughty little stepbrother book from her earlier this season. Get clicking, lady listeners. So Good is out now. You know you wanna. Hey, lady listeners. It's Tessa Bailey. It's Wednesday, and that's right. You did hear an actual real advertisement at the beginning of this podcast. Are you shocked? I'm not talking about like Oreos or something random. Yeah, Jenica Snow has a book out today. It's called So Good. It's a forbidden taboo romance, and you got to go click it up. We know she's awesome because she was on this podcast, and she's amazing in person as well. So yeah, get to clicking. So Good is out now on Kindle Unlimited. But we are also here today for a majorly important reason. We are listening to the third installment of Grading Curves by Naima Simone. This is a teacher-student romance with a twist. The teacher is the woman. And she's like a great heroine. I just felt like I knew her so well after chapter one that I was really invested. So this book really delivered for me. And I'm excited to keep going with it because I know everybody, like we're recording in advance, but everybody's freaking out over this book in headquarters right now. So I'm sure of it. Before we get rolling, I'm going to read you an email that I got actually today. It's a high school sweetheart story, and it's long as fuck, but you know what? It reads like a YA novel. Like, it just, like, really touched me, and I couldn't stop reading until the end, and I think you guys are gonna really enjoy it. Like, I was on the edge of my seat reading this email. So I'm gonna go ahead and read that for you right now. I don't know if she wants me to say her name. I don't think so. Nope, she doesn't want me to read it. Okay. So it's a high school sweetheart story. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and start. Hi, ladies. First, let me say I love your podcast, and you three keep me majorly entertained. Tessa, several weeks ago, you asked for someone to be your best friend, and I'm here for you, babe. So much of what you say, I just nod to myself and say same, including the sex towel. And with that, I guess this email is now anonymous. I'm writing because I just finished the Between Us and Forever week, and you guys were talking about high school sweethearts. I've decided to share the story of me and my husband. We met when we were both 12. To this day, he can tell you what I was wearing the first time he ever saw me. Since I don't remember, I have to take his word for it, but he's pretty confident, so I believe him. We were very close friends, and he made it absolutely clear that he wanted more, but I resisted until we were 17. I shared my first slow dance, 13 years old, and first real kiss, 15 years old, both before I would agree to be his girlfriend. He was, to put it mildly, a bit of a teenage man whore. I dated a boy off and on for a couple of years before him in high school, and this drove him crazy. The fact that he was getting around like a hula hoop, thus making him a giant hypocrite, has always been lost on him. I love her. Our first kiss happened at school. We had an after-school club we were both members of, and I had walked with him to his locker to get something. The members of the club were the only people left in the building, and they were all in the classroom where we were supposed to meet. That day had felt so different. We were both extra flirty, which was rare for me, as I genuinely tried to not lead him on. I was leaning against the locker next to his, and he slowly leaned in. I thought he was going to kiss me, but instead he kissed my cheek. He lingered with his lips pressed against my skin, and he pushed my hair back behind my ear. It was by far the sexiest moment I'd ever experienced, and now, 23 years later, it is still at least in the top five. Neither of us acknowledged this and started walking to the classroom. We made it to the stairwell, and we both just stopped and looked at each other. The next thing I know, we were kissing. Since Leah is Southern, I feel she will appreciate my description of we went to town on each other's mouths to describe this. To this day, we argue over which of us initiated the kiss. It was totally him, though. One day, about a year or so after the kiss, I was at his house with a bunch of our friends, and he pulled me into his room. He told me that me not being his girlfriend was driving him crazy, that I was the last thing he thought about before he went to sleep and the first thing he thought about when we woke up. He said he'd woken up sick before and dragged himself to school because he didn't want to miss the chance to see me, and that I was the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen. He looked me straight in the eye the whole time and held my hand. Still, somehow, I resisted, and I get it. If this were a movie, this would be the moment that I'd be screaming, "Wake up, you dumb bitch! Can't you see that teenage boy just wants to get... The teenage boys just want to get their dicks wet, and this is real feelings?" But my reasoning, and I told him so, was the fact that he was constantly dating a new girl. I really felt that if his feelings were real, then he shouldn't want to be with anyone else. He took this as a challenge and stopped dating other girls. After 6 months or so into his drought, a tornado came through our city. Our neighborhoods were hit, and when we got power back at my house, I saw in the news that his street had a ton of damage. I started trying to call him and could not reach him. After a couple of hours of not being able to get in touch with him, I was hysterical. When he finally called me back and told me that he was fine and had just been eating Cheetos in the bathtub waiting for the lights to come back on, it finally hit me. I was in love with this boy and probably had been all along. I confessed this to him 2 days later. And seriously, when I read any story where the hero looks at the heroine in awe, it hits me right in the chest because I've experienced this look and there's not much better. And we've been together ever since. One of his exes even told me once how much she used to hate me because when she was with him, he basically told her not to get attached because he was having fun until he was just having fun until he was able to be with me. Since then, he's become the first and only boy I ever slept with, the first boy and only, probably, I ever married. I joke a lot about him being my first husband, the father of my six-year-old boy. We've grown up together, supported each other through careers, made a home, and built a life. We have our ups and downs like any couple, but we are a team. The other day, I was walking through our foyer to go to... I pronounced that right on the first try. I didn't say foyer at all. Like, I said foyer straight out. To go to the half bath we have on the main level of our house. I heard him call my name, and I told him, "Just a second." He called my name again, and I said, "I said just a second." He called my name again, and I walked out of the bathroom with my pants unbuttoned, grumbling about the right to pee in peace. I looked up to find him looking down at me from the landing. Obviously grumpy, I muttered, "What?" He just smiled at me and shook his head a little and said, "I just like looking at you. I just like to look at you." I love to read romance, but mine will always be my favorite. Sorry for how long this is, but I wanted to do it justice. You guys are the best. Thanks. She said to call her Betty. Because of the sex towel, or just Tess's BFF. PSS, I've attached my favorite ever photo of my little family so you can see just who took up your time. I guess I'm the only one that's ever going to get to see this, but just suffice it to say they are as adorable as that story. So thank you very much, quote unquote, Betty, for telling us that lovely story. It really just made me smile, and I'm sure everybody that's listening is swooning mad hard right now. Okay. Here we go. We're heading into some more romance. That's what we do here. The third installment of Grading Curves by Naima Simone. And I'll talk to you guys on the other side. Bye.
Chapter 2. Dean. 9 o'clock in the morning is too damn early to be doing anything but sleeping and fucking. And falling back to sleep after fucking. It's definitely too early to be sitting in a classroom at Wellington College, the local private school, waiting for a Western civilization class to start as soon as the professor arrives. I glance at my phone. 9:03 a.m. 12 more minutes before I can get up out of here. This might be my first year as a college student, but even I know about the 15-minute rule. I'm doing this for you, Mom. Hope you're looking down, seeing I'm on time for something. And are proud. Most people, especially my younger brother and sister, would be surprised to know I still talk to my mom in my head. I have no clue if she can hear me in heaven, purgatory, or the nothing that exists after death. I don't particularly believe in God, but she did. And since I had 19 years of having to speak to, confide in, the dementia stole her away from us long before she stopped breathing 4 years later. It's a habit I haven't been able to break. Don't want to break. Which explains why my ass is planted in a freshman level class, surrounded by fresh-faced kids who still got milk on their breaths. Most 18 and 19 year olds who don't know anything about hardship or scraping by so your family can eat. At their age, I was putting my mother in a nursing home because of early onset Alzheimer's, working a full-time job, and taking over raising my younger sister and brother. My father left all of us when I was 11, and then 8 years later, my stepfather, and I use that term loosely, abandoned us because the dickless wonder said fuck you to the in sickness and health part of his vows when mom's Alzheimer's worsened. Even though at 23, I'm just 4 or 5 years older than the other students, it might as well be 20. I have no business here. I don't want to be here, but a promise to mom during one of the more lucid moments has me chained to this desk like invisible handcuffs, even if all I want to do is tattoo. Even if I don't give a flying fuck about philosophy, humanities, and whatever else clutters up my schedule. Even if I hated high school and finished by the hair of my balls. None of that matters. Because of money and responsibilities, it took me 4 years longer than planned to get here, but I am fulfilling my vow to her. Scanning the room, I catch more than a few of the other students throwing curious looks my way. I can practically feel their eyes skim over the tattoos that cover my arms, crawl up my neck, and even inked into the shaved side of my head when my hair is growing back in. This is a small Christian college. While I'm probably not the only tatted up, scruff-having, pierced man on the campus, I am the only one in this class, which makes me an oddity to these preppy, conservative kids with their pastels, prints, and freshly pressed jeans. Pierced. I hadn't been wearing the barbell in my tongue last night, or the rings in my eyebrow and lip last night at the shop. Last night, how hotter would Nikki have burned? How much harder would she have come with my barbell rolling over her clit? Lust gut punches me, and I clench my jaw against the flames blasting through me, culminating in a hard and insistent pounding in my cock. I'm sure at some point, I'll be able to think of that encounter and not erupt into a human tiki torch, but today ain't that day. From the moment Nikki Barber walked into the shop, both my chest and my cock pounded. Such goddamn beauty, class, grace, and I wanted to claim it, own it, dirty it. Fuck, I shake my head and smother a snort. That's what I hungered to do to Nikki. What I intended to do before Natalie showed up looking for me. I'd never regretted giving her a key to the shop more than I did last night. That wasn't the first time my little sister cock-blocked me, but it was the first time I'd considered sororicide. Any judge, male or female, who laid eyes on Nikki would never convict me. Not if they had the opportunity to bury their mouth, fingers and cock in the sweetest pussy God ever created. Not if they could have her thick, beautiful thighs shaking around their head. Not if they had that sexy, midnight and whiskey voice screaming their name. That voice, I'll never forget it. It fucking haunts me.
Good morning, I apologize for my tardiness. My only excuse is I'm new here and apparently have no sense of direction. Columbus and I would have made an awesome team.
The class chuckles, but not me. Astonishment and more than a little bit of confusion rips through me because I'm experiencing an oral hallucination. How else can I explain hearing Nikki's voice in my Western civilization class? I lift my head at the clack of the heels on the floor. It can't be. No way in hell could. Oh, fuck. Nikki, at the front of the room, setting her cup of coffee and bag on top of the desk. The desk that belongs to the professor. She's my teacher. I've had my goddamn tongue and fingers buried inside my college professor. Jesus Christ. Had she mentioned teaching at the school? I mentally shake my head. No. No, she hadn't. She talked about moving here, but nothing about a position at the school.
In case you're confused about where you are, no worries. This is Western Civilization HY101, and I'm Professor Nikki Barber.
She smiles, and the dimple I clearly remember wanting to dip the tip of my tongue in flashes in her right cheek. She scans the room, giving each student quick but definite eye-to-eye time, My chest is a drum kit for my heart as I wait for her gaze. It's nearer, now on the kit at the end of my row.
In here, we will examine the evolution of Western civilization.
Two students over.
From its origins in ancient Greece.
To me.
The emergence of modern Europe.
Her voice falters. Her eyes widen. Maybe no one else glimpses the utter shock in them, but I do. Her wide, plump, biteable lips part and tremble. A memory flashes across my mind, her teeth sinking into the slightly fuller bottom lip as I spread her legs and palmed her thighs. Shit. I shift in my desk, sliding down a little further in my seat, trying to conceal the quickly growing hard-on changing the fit of my damn jeans. I didn't get nearly enough of that mouth last night.
I'm sorry.
Tearing her gaze away from mine, she smiles, and again, maybe I'm the only one who catches the strain in it. Turning, she picks up her coffee and cradles it between her palms, like a lifeline.
I'm a shade above useless without my coffee in the morning.
She clears her throat, sips, then turns up the wattage of that smile, keeping all visual contact off me.
As I was saying,
she jumps into her speech about the contents of the class, and after several moments, the confident swagger she entered with returns to her voice and demeanor. She'd been reserved, a little unsure and out of her element in the tattoo shop. That vulnerability, especially when she shared with me about her fear of needles and the meaning behind the woodpecker, pulled on me, unearthed this protective streak that had only been delegated to family. I'd wanted, needed to, give her everything. The tattoo, a willing ear, pleasure, anything. But this woman owns this classroom and has already captured every student's attention with her poise, humor, knowledge, and take-no-shit attitude. It's hot as fuck. One thing that's not different is the power and impact of her. She's like walking into one of those wind tunnels and struggling not to be knocked on your ass. That's what looking at her is. A battle not to be swept up in the sensual but almost painful loveliness of those oval-shaped brown eyes, the elegant nose with the flared nostrils, the fuckability of her mouth, and that delicate but stubborn jaw. There's beauty and strength in that face, nobility and carnality. Dark corkscrew curls fan out in a gorgeous riot, brushing the shoulders of her suit jacket. I've had my hands in that hair, and I can still feel the soft and touch of coarse texture between my fingers, against my palms. And then there's that body. Christ. Today's pantsuit and white blouse are a far cry from last night's sweater, tank, and jeans, but all that beautiful chestnut brown skin, the more than my handful breasts, the dip of her waist, the flare of hips perfect for holding onto for a good hard fuck, the thickness of her tight thighs, she's goddamn perfection. An undeserving fuck that I am, I've been blessed enough to have my hands on her. In her.
You are expected to be familiar with the syllabus and keep up with all the assignments via the online portal. In other words, but you didn't mention it in class isn't a valid excuse, but your zero will be very valid. And final. At the top is also my office hours. My door is always open if you need to discuss anything regarding assignments, grades, or projects.
She glances at the clock on the wall and grins.
We're done here. I'll see you on Thursday.
Students shuffle out of their seats and more than half bombard the front, gathering around her. Glancing down at the syllabus, I head out the door. What I need to talk to Professor Barber about can't be said in a classroom full of witnesses. An hour later, I'm leaning against the wall outside of her office, watching and waiting for the double doors at the very end of the hall to open. When one does several minutes later, I slowly straighten, staring. I don't even try to hide it, even though I should. She notices me as soon as she steps inside. Her step stutters, halts, then she strides forward with a determination that pretty much screams, "Don't fuck with me." A little too late for that.
"Mr. Shaw,"
she greets me in a firm voice. As she did during the hour and a half of class, she doesn't meet my eyes, instead focusing on unlocking her door.
"When I invited students to take advantage of my office hours, I didn't mean quite so soon. It's the first day of class, questions already."
She turns to me, but her gaze is fixed on my chin, and I curb the urge to grasp her chin and tilt it up until she's looking at me. I love having those pretty eyes on me, especially when I'm face deep in her pussy. "Yes, Professor Barber," I say, and damn if that doesn't send a bolt of sizzling heat straight to my cock. "There are a couple of things I'd like to discuss if you have a minute." Lowering my voice, I add, "Or we can talk about tattoos right here in the hallway, where anyone can come by and overhear. But either way, we're going to talk, Professor." Her lips flatten. Well, as much as those plump curves can, and she twists the knob and shoves the door open. I follow her in, shut it behind us, and prop a shoulder against the wall. She marches to her desk and sets her bag and books on her desk, then pivots to face me, arms crossed, hip cocked. Silence damn near vibrates in this closet, generously called an office. And it's heavy with the knowledge of what we did last night. Dense with the awareness of our roles reversed, that she's my teacher and I'm her student. And she loved having my mouth on her pussy.
"Well, Mr. Shaw?" she asks.
"Mr. Shaw?" I arch an eyebrow. "Really? In here?" She sighs, glancing away before refocusing her attention on me.
"Dean, what do you want?"
"How's your tattoo this morning?" She frowns.
"Fine. A little tender, but fine."
Her frown deepens.
"Is that what you wanted to see me about?"
"You ran out before I could give you aftercare instructions, such as rubbing ointment on it for the next few days. If you'll swing by the shop, you can buy some there," I offer. "But no, that isn't why I'm here. And let's not pretend you don't know why I am, Woody." Emotion flares in her dark eyes at the nickname. My intentional reminder, forcing her to confront and acknowledge the big-ass herd of stampeding elephants in the room.
"It should have never happened,"
she murmurs.
"We both need to forget about it. I'm your professor and you're one of my students. That's the extent of our relationship."
"No." Her chin jerks up at my blunt refusal.
"No,"
she repeats, slower. "I'm sorry, correction. Hell no." Anger seeps into her face, narrowing her eyes and straining her sharp as glass cheekbones.
"What's your plan? Hold last night over my head? Use it for what? Favor? A grade? Maybe tell—"
"Quiet," I growl, snatching at my seething temper and grabbing hold with both hands. But it's slipping right through my fingers. I push off the wall and stalk closer to her, not stopping until inches separate us. Control by intimidation isn't my thing, so I maintain a careful distance. But then again, being accused of blackmail isn't my thing either. You don't really know me that well, so I'm going to let this one slide. You're surprised. Got it. Even embarrassed. Still got it, but you don't get to say that to me again. She pinches the bridge of her nose, her eyes briefly closing.
"I'm sorry if I offended you," she finally murmurs. "But you're right. I don't know you."
"Let's change that." The words burst out of me before I have time to consider the wisdom of them. And as her eyes widen in surprise, I can tell she's as shocked as I am. Swallowing a curse, I scrub a hand down my face. That's a mistake, because for a second I swear I can still catch her scent on my fingers. Of course, I've washed my fingers and showered since last night, but it doesn't matter. I'd been right. The fragrance from her skin had been thicker, more potent than her pussy. Like a shot of the most expensive top-shelf liquor known to mankind. A liquor I wouldn't normally be able to afford, but now got a taste of. Fuck it, I'm like an alcoholic the way I'm craving more. Which explains why I'm standing here asking her to see me again.
Are you crazy? She hisses. Did you not hear what I just said? I'm your professor. If anyone found out about last night, I would be in trouble. And that's when I didn't know you were my student. But to knowingly carry on something with you, I could lose my job. I walked away from my old life to take this position. I can't jeopardize it. No, I won't jeopardize it.
She's speaking the truth. This is a small town, and if I was a selfless man, I would walk out of this office right now. But I'm not that man. At least not in this moment. For 5 years, I've been the responsible one. The parent. The provider. The counselor. I've been everything my family needed, but last night, I took for myself. Of course, I've had my fair share of pussy. Some women's sole purpose for coming into the shop is to fuck an artist. And until Nikki walked into that lobby, I didn't care about being used to fulfill some kind of bad boy fantasy. Not when I was using them right back. But Nikki, she was different. Is different. Yeah, she's a fucking goddess, but there's more to her. That courage, strength, obvious intelligence, vulnerability. And though she just accused me of trying to extort grades from her, she had to trust me with not just her safety to remain in an empty, locked building with me, but she also put her body, her pleasure into my care. True, I only had hours in her company, but in that time, she made me feel like the man I was before Mom became sick and the weight of duty and obligation settled on my shoulders like a backpack stuffed with bricks. Free. Call me a selfish prick, but I want more of it. More of her. I know what you left behind, and I would never ask you to risk all that you've worked so hard for, Nikki. I say, deliberately using her name and shifting closer until the space between us disappears. Unable to not touch her any longer, I trace the delicate line of her jaw, her stubborn little chin, the temptation of her mouth. Her soft pants of breath break across my fingers, and we both shiver. I feel those warm gusts under my shirt, over my skin, dusting the already damp head of my cock. But this job isn't your life. A teacher isn't who you are, it's what you do. So what does Nikki Barber want? To tie herself to a title? To a job? To people's opinions? Or does she want to live for herself? Her wants. Life without regret. She shakes her head, as if defying my words, but she's also leaning into my touch, increasing the pressure of my fingers on her full, sexy bottom lip herself. I oblige her, press harder until the tip of my thumb breaches her and her moist heat bathes me. I groan and grip her hip with my free hand, digging in. My chest counters hers, and her breasts rise and fall against me, her nipples grazing me through her blouse and my shirt. My dick digs into her stomach, and with a few less layers of clothing, it would be leaving a damp spot on her skin, and I'd rub my cum into her, leaving my stamp on her flesh. I have regrets, Nikki. I murmur in a voice so roughened by the lust grinding my insides to dust, it scrapes my throat. I regret that I didn't get to rub your pretty nipples or suck on them until you begged me to stop. Her muted whimper and the reflexive jerk of her body doesn't stop me. No, it spurs me on. You just gave me a taste of this cock tease of my mouth on my dick, but I never got to watch it swallow me down. Never got to fuck this gorgeous face. But those aren't even my biggest regrets. You know what it is, Woody? She doesn't answer, but another one of those small, telltale whimpers is as good as one. I lower my head until my mouth moves over my thumb and her lips. I didn't get to bury myself in your pussy. Didn't find out if you'd take me with one thrust or if I'd have to put some work into getting inside you. I want to know what you look like when you come. If you'd break my eardrums with your screams, rip my back to ribbons with your nails, or if you'd choke out your orgasm and squeeze me with your arms and thighs, holding me. I want to know, Woody. And if you're honest, you crave it just as much as I do. Her gaze, dark and swirling with arousal, burns into mine. But it's not enough. I need to hear the words. Hear her admit that this clawing, restless need isn't one-sided. Dean, she breathes. My heart thuds against my chest, and my grip on her face and hip tightens. A knock at the door ricochets the room like the report of a gun. She yanks away from my hold and throws a panicked look over my shoulder toward the door. Damn it. I clench my jaw, curling my fingers into my palms. My body literally aches from the unsatisfied lust roaring through it like an enraged lion. I grind my teeth together to trap the "don't answer that fucking door" inside. So close. So goddamn close. I turn in time to see Nikki pull it open and reveal the older man standing in the doorway.
Dr. Russell, hello.
She greets in a voice that's amicable and only a little shaky.
I wasn't expecting you. Did we have a meeting today?
No, we didn't. The man, who's obviously another professor, replies. He quickly scans her body, but not quick enough. I battle down the snarl surging up my throat and the inexplicable and crazy impulse to stalk over there and insert myself between them, to warn him to keep his fucking eyes off her. I thought since it was your first day, I could treat you to lunch and see how it's going so far. He glances over her shoulder to me. I'm sorry, am I interrupting? The "yes, you damn well are" crowds onto my tongue, but she shakes her head.
No, we were actually just finishing up here. Mr. Shaw, I'll see you Thursday in class.
Mr. Shaw. That burns almost as much as her dismissal. But short of refusing to leave, I don't have a choice but to give in. For now. Nodding across the room, halting next to her, I wait until she looks at me. There's a plea in those eyes, and it pisses me off even as it punches through my chest and squeezes. She obviously thinks I would put her job at risk by outing her, outing us. But right now, she could ask anything of me, and I would give it to her, even if it was just to leave her alone. But she didn't ask it. As I exited her office and walked down the hallway, leaving her with another man, I hold on to that.
We're back, lady listeners. How amazing was that? I'm losing track of where you're at in the story because we pre-record, and I never know how they're going to break it up. So I don't want to spoil anything, but I know you guys are enjoying this like crazy. We'll be back tomorrow with more of Grading Curves by Naima Simone. But if you want to pre-order the ebook, click that Amazon link. It's in the episode description. And if you're not following us all over social media at Read Me Romance on Instagram, Read Me Romance on Facebook, we post links for the author's work like all throughout the week while they're featured. So don't want to, you know, miss out on any of that stuff. So make sure you're following us. Right now, Naima Simone has her Lick series in a box set for 99 cents. It's 3 books for 99 cents. I have a little description here of it. The Lick series, it's an erotic romance novella series focused on 3 childhood friends who grew up working and living for the Irish mob. They're co-owners of the nightclub Lick and their exclusive aphrodisiac club, The Loft. And the first book sounds amazing. It's 3 novellas bundled into one. The cover's hot. It's 99 cents. It's a no-brainer. Go click it. Yeah, Naima is doing a big giveaway. If you go to readmeromance.com, you can find it under our current audiobook, or you can click the link in the episode description. But she's giving away a signed set of her WAG series and an audiobook of Sin and Ink. And we'll be talking more about Sin and Ink tomorrow. So, all right, guys. I think that's it for me, lady listeners. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll be back tomorrow with more. Bye.
Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance. You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and read me romance. Read, read me romance.